The next case, number 2015-313, Moskowitz versus Cuyahoga County Board of Revision.
Your Honor, is it okay if Mr. Moskowitz is seated at this table?
Certainly. Representing the appellant, Mr. Morton.
I would like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal, please.
Sir, it's your time.
Alex Morton on behalf of Marvin Moskowitz, property owner. Your Honor, this case, in my judgment, presents the legal issue of burden of proof. In our judgment, the Board of Tax Appeals has adopted erroneous legal rules regarding the burden of proof. First of all, on the property owner, they are continually disposing of cases based on the fact that the property owner didn't meet the burden of proof, without ever reaching the evidence on the other side of the case, meaning the fiscal officer or auditor's valuation. This, in effect, is directing a verdict when you don't even bother hearing the evidence from the other side. That is directing a verdict in substance. And there are standards established for directing a verdict. Those standards are established in Civil Rule 50. They're established in the civil case of Possen versus ABC Motor Court Hotel.
But you would agree there are cases from this court in the Board of Revision area that say that the county usually does not have a burden to come forward and affirmatively present evidence, that the burden is on the taxpayer to prove the new value. Isn't that the case law that they're relying on?
Right. It's, you know, it's like any other complaint. You file a complaint in court, you have the burden of proof by a preponderance of the evidence. That's correct. And so when Mr. Moskowitz in this particular case came forward and testified that, in his opinion, the value of the property was no more than $25,000 to $30,000, and that can be found on the audio recording of the Board of Revision hearing. It can be found at the beginning of it and at the end of it. And when he submitted his list of comparable sales on Beechwood Avenue, an exhaustive list of all the sales, nowhere near $148,000 or $60,000, nowhere near that, then he then established a prima facie case. Under the applicable standard, weight of the evidence and credibility are not at issue. You'll see that in the State versus Tompkins. You'll see it in Possen versus ABC Motor Court Hotel. I can give you the site on that if you want it, 45 Ohio State 2nd 271. You'll see it in U.S. v. Huddleston, a U.S. Supreme Court case talking about sufficiency of the evidence. It's the same principle. It's an old legal principle. The Board of Tax Appeals simply does not recognize that. So, first of all, you rarely find that the property owners even presented a prima facie case. Erroneously, I may add. Now, then we go to their burden. Once the owner has established a prima facie case, then they have the burden of coming forward with the evidence. Well, somehow the Board of Tax Appeals has evolved a jurisprudence that the county auditor, the fiscal officer, has no, quote, duty to defend. They often cite the Fairlawn case. I would say to you that all of their case law is very poor. Very, very poor.
You mean that the cases are incorrectly decided, or that support their proposition?
Cases are not incorrectly decided. The Board of Tax Appeals takes language from those cases and uses it for their own purposes. That's what they do time and time again. Every citation in their order on decision, in their opinion, every citation is taken out of context. The Fairlawn case, the most important thing to note is the property owner won the case. The property owner won the case. So how could it stand for the fiscal officer that has no duty to defend? Fiscal officer lost, okay? Fairlawn cites Murray and Company Marina. That's where the language duty to defend originates. Now, first of all, I would point out that Murray and Company does not say that there's no duty to defend. It says that the duty to defend comes into place once the property owner presents a prima facie case, like any other case. But probably more importantly is the dissent. There was a dissent in Murray and Company Marina, and the dissent quite accurately pointed out that the majority was confusing shifting burdens of proof with actual interference in the property owner's right to make a case. Cross-examination of the evidence against you is a fundamental right that every plaintiff has in a case. The fiscal officer's determination of true value is evidence in the case. Every case starts with that. The Moskowitz case started with $146,000. So the complainant, property owner, has an absolute right to attack that valuation on his case in chief. There's no such thing as no duty to defend. That's a nonsensical remark. Simple principles of law, cross-examination, relevant evidence. If it's relevant for one purpose, it can't be irrelevant for the other. In other words, the Board of Tax Appeals now time and time again says, we find it utterly irrelevant, the property owner's attempt to challenge the fiscal officer's evaluation of his property. We find that utterly irrelevant. Well, it can't be irrelevant. It's in the case. It's evidence in the case. So,
but isn't that a distinction to be drawn between an administrative proceeding like the present and the civil cases that you're talking about, where a civil action where you have a plaintiff, they present a prima facie case, they get the ball to the 50-yard line, then the other side has to come and carry the ball, i.e. present more evidence, as opposed to the case law in this administrative proceeding has traditionally been that the burden is on this property owner or a school board to show a value of the property different from that found by the county.
Right, but I don't know that the burden is any different in an administrative proceeding than in a regular civil case. I would think in an administrative proceeding, the rule would be somewhat relaxed. There would be less of a burden on a plaintiff. But let's just say the burden is the burden, the preponderance of the evidence. Mr. Moskowitz, when he got on the witness stand and said, I think my property's worth 25 to 30 because I know the other properties on the street and what they can sell for, and I can't get more than 25 to 30. This property is in unfinished condition, and it's ridiculous. Now, so now I want to turn to the other side of the coin, the other point at issue in this case, and that is the computer-assisted mass appraisal system, okay? There are going to be more cases coming up. There have already been two decided by the Ohio Supreme Court out of Cuyahoga County, the Schwartz and the Ross cases in late August, okay? This is the same computer-assisted mass appraisal system that valued properties on those streets at over $100,000 each. Okay, now, this is the same system. They put Mr. Moskowitz's property at $148,000. Even the Board of Revision agreed to send an appraiser out, and he reduced it to $60,000. So they themselves concede that this this system is badly flawed. Why isn't the Board of Tax Appeals interested in that? And I have a theory on it. They're not interested in it because they can't handle it. Okay? No one on the Board of Appeals, Board of Tax Appeals, knows multiple regression analysis. I've talked to them. I've asked them, you know multiple regression? No, they don't. And so they don't want to deal with it, and that's why they erect this wall around finding out what this is all about.
Well, but don't the statutes give to the county fiscal officer or auditors or fiscal officers and the state tax department the authority to figure out how to do that mass appraisal?
There's
no statute that says that the BTA should review that, the actual system, the general system for appraising properties, is there?
Actually, in my judgment, the Board of Revision should be reviewing that in Cuyahoga County. In other words, that's what should happen to this case. This case should be remanded back to the Board of Tax Appeals with instructions to remand it back to Cuyahoga County, where we can put the responsible party on the witness stand before the Board of Revision in Cuyahoga County, and then you here in Columbus will not have Cuyahoga County's problems foisted on you. That's all that's going on here, is that the computer-assisted mass appraisal system in Cuyahoga County is completely off the mark when you come to low to moderate income areas where there's a lot of foreclosures. That's the problem. This street and the street in Schwartz and Ross had a lot of foreclosures. They're not included. That is not correct. There may be some justification for that when it comes to equalization, but not when it comes to computer-assisted mass appraisal. Their methodology is wrong. It's flawed. I referenced the book Statistics, or the book Real Estate Appraisal, Chapter 26. If you take a look at that, if you read it 10 times, you might understand the words. Okay. So how is the average property owner supposed to deal with that? So I think I've made my point. And at this point, I think I'll sit down.
Thank you, Mr. Morton. Mr. Oradini.
Morning, Your Honor. May it please Court, Reno Oradini on behalf of Cuyahoga County. I think, Your Honor, you touched on a valid point that Mr. Morton is arguing that the Board of Tax Appeals is wrong for following Supreme Court precedent. And plus there's one key fact that I think is dispositive to this whole case. Mr. Morton makes arguments about mass appraisal. Mr. Morton made arguments about an owner's opinion of value. He made arguments about the county's fiscal officer's duty to defend, which it did. Because even though the owner came forth with minimal evidence, just his stated value, a list at page 26 of the appendix, just a handwritten notes of comparable sales. This case is based on one individual appraisal. The county sent an individual appraiser out there after he, we'll say, met his burden with minimal evidence. So the county did defend. The county sent an appraiser who individually viewed the property and reduced it to a value below which he originally requested. So the arguments as to the mass appraisal is wrong. It simply moots because once the county sent the individual appraiser out, there was new evidence, and that was never, the owner never came back with new evidence to rebut the new appraisal. As to, he mentioned Schwartz and Ross, which recently was decided, those cases are inapplicable to this case because those involve sales. And I believe this case is that simple, Your Honor. The mass appraisal argument is moot because the property was reappraised by an individual appraiser who set the value below the value that was originally requested by the owner, and it's the only issue in this case. Appellant did not meet his burden to change the individual appraiser's appraisal that the Board of Revision used to decrease his value. So, if there's any questions.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Arradini. Mr. Morton, 3 minutes, 10 seconds for rebuttal.
2 minutes, Your Honor. I want to just point out one thing. This is the appraisal. It was never offered, it was never in evidence. It was never sworn to on a witness stand subject to cross-examination. So we don't know how he came up with the $60,000. Now, I've raised in my brief the whole question of, is the Board of Tax Appeals even a fair and impartial tribunal, or is it really just covering for the fiscal officer, as the Board of Revision essentially is doing in Cuyahoga County? They don't inquire into the fiscal officer. They're not a neutral and impartial tribunal. I submit that the Board of Tax Appeals is not either. You'll see the scathing analysis of our case about hearsay. Our comparables are hearsay evidence. And Mr. Moskowitz can't render an opinion based on hearsay evidence. Our comparables were not hearsay evidence. Our comparables were judicially noticed admissions of the fiscal officer, a party to the case. So they were neither hearsay and this never made the record. So, as we concluded at the Board of Tax Appeals, why would anyone in their right mind pay $60,000 for this piece of property when no property on the street is going for that amount of money in the condition it's in? And with that, I'll conclude.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Morton. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.